You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Black Men Podcast. That's right. You want to be heard in the black man's world? Simple, they're complicated. Just relax and observe. Breaking down of our families, restructuring communities. To wake up and see, only your losers are free. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door, black male delivery. Your enemy is your memory. We at your door.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I'm Tall Sean T. This is who I am.
Jake the Artist, who I am.
And you've been biting me ever since we did this.
Nah, I'm not biting. Whoa. Slow down.
I'm not a biter. I'm a writer for myself and others.
You got to be careful in 2025 with the wordplay.
Bro, you really do. That's so crazy.
People
bro.
Just take your words and just flip them. Yo.
How the new headphones feel?
They good. I mean, I can hear. Hey, YouTube shorts, y'all comments are hilarious. Y'all take clips and y'all run with words and don't hear nothing that was said. But you know the thing about it is, we laugh at it. Keep it's all good.
Keep the interaction.
Keep the engagement. Keep it popping. TikTok, y'all as well. Y'all comments be wild.
Because I think somebody on TikTok told me, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
You figured that out in 30 seconds?
And cool. I laughed. I said, cool. All right. I just put right up under. I said, all right.
Which topic was it? You remember?
I don't even remember, bro.
If you leave a comment sparking conversation, we can.
That's different.
We will do that.
Yeah, we'll go
but
back.
If you say something crazy, we're not even going to delete it. I want people to see it. I don't care.
Me neither.
If you call me goofy or something, bro, that means nothing to me, bro. Like,
bro, people be wilding.
Yeah, indeed. Keep
walking. Hey, man, I ain't going to front, though, bro. Shoot, I'm slimming off in these chairs, bro. That's that constant gym work. I was fat and running over in this motherfucking chair.
Son trying to show you his figure. Right, he got the little leg shimmy going on. That's what it is. All right. You might get the wrong. Oh, you got the leg crossed now? Okay.
Yeah, dog, you know we've been doing that. Every fucking episode. Ever since that day I pointed it out, I stopped doing it.
Trying to get comfortable, man.
This that old nigga bop. When that shit start going all the way.
Yeah, you done lost a lot of weight then.
That's what that shit hurt.
My father was doing that.
I feel like the older we get, that's the natural progression.
Yeah, because you get all small and lose all muscle tone in your legs.
So you just fully
and
cross.
And you get like a newfound flexibility that looks abnormal.
And yeah, I agree. But let's get into the show, man. Yo, how you been doing? You doing all right?
Good, man. Life is
doing
beautiful,
better?
Man. You know what I'm saying? Sure. You know, things happen. You know, you got to find the blessings and lessons within it. You know, the things that go on in life, man, and build from them.
I agree. So, man, let's start out the show. We're going to go into sports. Let's talk about the Browns situation right now. We got Shador.
Terrible organization.
And we got, yeah, that's just horrible. But I'll say this, bro. This how I before I get into the full topic. This how we know that Shador has a media power that most we haven't seen in a very long time.
Check the
in
numbers.
The NFL. Yep. You look at how many people tuned in to a fucking preseason game. I've never watched a full or a half of a preseason game.
It's like 2.3 million, like 2.25.
Bro,
like
and that. Then it was in Carolina, it's in our area, and it was more people in the stands wearing Shador jerseys than they were wearing Carolina Panthers jerseys.
To think about it, though, if I would have actually thought about it, I would have
went up there, man.
I don't want to go. Preseason tickets got to be like $1.99.
No, His preseason tickets, they went up to $150.
For the Panthers?
Yes.
No, I wasn't
going. Went up to $150.
But I would have went to a bar and watched it, though.
Right.
I would have done
$150.
I think that would have been fun to watch it, like, in a room full of people. But a Shador Brown's jersey going to be worth some money, because I don't think he's going to be there long. That's going to be a classic.
And
a rookie jersey? They're always classics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his, when they broke down his how much money he actually get paid for his jerseys sell. He gets a portion of any jersey sales or media money promotion. It's called the Prime Clause.
But his name and likeness is taken care of in the way that it should be the blueprint.
Yes.
You know, yes. I will say that. His whole college career really should be a blueprint, the way his name and likeness was carried through and the way he maneuvered his NIL money to where he don't even have to touch a lot of his money.
This nigga getting NIL in the NFL right now.
Well, I mean, he's a brand. That's why it's crazy to me. Even it's crazy how some of these teams, franchises, I'm gonna say all across the board in sports, can't get out their feelings.
Right.
Now we all know they didn't want Shador, but if you look at his name, his brand, and what comes with his brand, the Browns could definitely use the ticket sales. They can definitely use the activity with the merch, because as popular as Sanders is, somebody else on that team is going to piggyback that popularity and become more popular.
They said the jerseys made 200 and something million, and Shador gets 12 million out of that.
Okay, nobody else is doing that.
No one.
But I'm saying, too, out of that popularity, I mean, you know, you can contradict if you don't think this would happen. I'm thinking somebody else within that team would become more popular as well. Yeah. Not on his level, but they'll still go from zero to like 10.
Right.
Whether it's a receiver, a running back, or maybe a line. Matter of fact, it could help Myles Garrett.
And Myles Garrett, and a lot of them like that boy.
Man, Shador's a likable person. I said this to Ski yesterday. I said, the only thing Shador is guilty of is being successful at a young age and being destined for greatness.
Right.
He's out here having fun, and people are hating because they don't have the level of popularity he has. You know what I'm saying? It's like being mad at a person because they're 6'4 and the sixth grade dunking on everybody.
Right.
He has the gifts he has, and Shador has maximized his talent his whole career.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You could say he has a silver spoon in his social life, but on that football field, he's put the work in.
Yeah.
You can't say he hasn't.
His dad they don't hand him shit.
Bruh, he has put the work in on that football field.
Even now, that's probably why his shoulder's sore.
Son, listen.
Because he's been throwing a lot to make sure that nobody can say he can't throw.
Well, it's even more than that. He took more hits as a quarterback on that level probably than anybody in college.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those hits don't start affecting you 2 years later.
And still have
we don't know if those hits touchdowns had any effect on his arm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Browns are making a bad, 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 bad decision playing games with this boy like that. Because even if you have him be the backup, just having him on that roster, ticket sales are going to go up just anticipating he gets in the game.
I don't think
he's going to be with football. He's not. He's not going to be on the team when the season starts.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. So let me clarify. When I say they're making a bad move, all encompassing, every piece of it, not putting him on the field. He should be number two behind Joe Flacco. He should be the one with the clipboard. He should be the one in training. He should be the one that the fans see on a grand scale.
Yep. But, you know
what
I mean?
But
the sad
if y'all don't
part
want
is,
that, some team's gonna get him and they're gonna kill it with the tickets, with the merch, all of that.
And nigga, he gonna fuck around and be playing and be doing pretty well. He get under the right system. You
well,
said
I see him playing by midseason unless he's on a contender.
You said something about him if he got to Andy Reid picked him up.
Yeah. Or any other coach that's good with quarterbacks. I think Andy Reid is the guru on that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's proven it.
Andy Reid does well with black quarterbacks. It's been proven.
He does great with quarterbacks, and he does. He has a history of the quarterbacks that nobody else wanted.
Yep.
Done well.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, let's just work for that. Put him over there.
That should have been incredible.
Put him over there behind Pat Mahomes.
Let him learn under Pat.
Yeah. Pat gonna sit out at least 3-4 games.
Yeah, that's a fact.
You know what I mean? Let's do it, play them 4 games and shine for 2 seasons.
Yep.
Then, you know, we figure it out.
Because eventually Pat, he gonna retire. He got what? He got the most rings right now. No, he don't. He don't have the most. He right under Tom. But
I can see Pat having to retire from injury.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Tom Brady had a career where he didn't have like a lot of injuries.
No.
You know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't had a lot of major injuries.
Nah.
You know, Pat Mahomes has had some nagging nagging injuries almost every season.
And that's because he, whether they're the way he move and
whether
stuff
they're
like
generally
that.
Injuries or they're like, okay, we're gonna put this on file because we want you to rest.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true too. They we do don't do know. That. Mm-hmm.
But looking at him run, you could tell something wrong with them wheels a little bit.
Yeah. Also, and you see, he slimmed up a lot too. So he must be. He know. He knows. He knows something as well. If you look at the stats, like Dylan Gabriel the other day, he was 13 for 18.
He's in a bad situation as well.
He was. He had 143 passing yards, zero touchdowns, one interception. Shador, his first preseason game, he was 14 for 23, 138 passing yards, and two touchdowns, zero interceptions. I'm gonna be honest, man. I said yes. I said when Dylan was playing, boy, didn't look bad. He was. They said he was 3 for 3, but he was actually 4 for 4. It was 4 for 4, and then they had the running touchdown. He brought him in. Yeah. He didn't look bad. Now, listen. Later, you know, a couple of the interception that was kind of blatant. I also say this: couple of the way they was calling plays for both of them were totally different.
Yeah.
It seemed like they opened the play calling for Shador more than they did Dylan Gabriel. He was doing a lot of quick hits, not really a whole lot of decision making.
Skill sets are different, so that's true, that kind of makes sense.
But if I'm looking at if they're looking at him because they drafted him in the third round to potentially be the starter, would you think that they, and he's been getting first team, second team reps, you would think they will open the playbook a lot more for him.
No, I don't.
Versus Shador, he's been getting zero team.
I don't think that.
Reps, and they open the playbook for him.
Yeah, because he's been put out there to fail.
Right, there we go.
See what I'm saying? So it's like either he's going to kill it, or he's going to look horrible.
Right.
You take Gabriel, you give him these safe plays.
Yep, very safe.
Where he can dink and dack.
Yeah, and that's what you did a lot.
You know what I'm saying? And dink and dacking ain't easy either.
No.
But he was dinking and dacking, and he's also in a bad situation because he's in the middle of all of this nonsense. But the thing is, he didn't get in the end zone. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Shador got into the end zone. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what you do. See, Dak Prescott has this problem. He won't get in the end zone. He'll get all these yards in the middle of the field, but he's not getting in the end zone. That's like the barometer of success. You got to score. Shador scores. So they opened up the playbook, giving him every opportunity in the world to fail. And, you know, he didn't. He performed well. You know, he performed well. Of course, he got a lot to learn, but he's a rookie. All rookies do.
Yeah.
But with what was placed in front of him, he did well. Now, they can say that he didn't play with the first team. He didn't play against the first team. We'll put him in there with the first team then.
Right.
That's how you solve it.
Talking about Shador?
Yeah.
I mean, the first couple plays of the game, he was with the first team.
Yeah, a couple plays
against the first team, but his,
I'm talking about extended
team,
period of
the
time.
People he was playing with was all third team guys.
That's my point. Let him have his first team offensive line,
right?
So he has the time behind him.
Yeah.
Let's see what he can do with the number one receiver, number two receiver, your number one tight end at that.
Right.
That tight end is that safety valve.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
This day and age, tight end damn near number one receiver.
If you're blessed to have one that's good,
right.
If you're not, then he's Travis just a Kelce. I mean, that's a legend. That's, you know, debatably top five all time. Tight end. I say debatable because everybody's list is
my
their
guy,
list.
Dallas Goedert.
We had a conversation about that earlier. Everybody's list is their list.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I mean,
definitely
look,
debatably top five.
I say this. He's definitely top five. He's not number one, but he's top five.
He has to be.
I think Gronk is better than Travis.
Some would throw out Kellen Winslow's name.
I'd be forgetting about Kellen Winslow.
You got Ozzie Newsom back in the days.
You got Ozzie Newsom.
Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez.
Now I got Gonzalez one. Gates
Gonzalez
two,
was special, man.
Gronk three.
See?
Travis four. And then you can fill in from where.
You know what I mean? There's a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you look. Mm-hmm. But see this. Okay, good example. This is why what we said upstairs earlier made sense about when you see somebody's list, it's their list.
Right.
When you make a list, it's a guarantee you forgot somebody's name.
Yeah, that's a guarantee.
Like when I said Tony Gonzalez, you said, oh, yeah. Then you said Tony O'Gay, yeah. Come on, a lot of these lists people make on the fly.
Yes.
Like you're asking a 70-year-old man to give you his top 10. I mean, Steph Curry's not going to be on it.
Right. And what he's talking about is the great
Dr. J.
Dr. J and his top 10 list in the NBA.
All great players.
Yeah, all great players.
All great players. Keep that clear.
Folks had a slight issue with his list because it didn't include Kobe or LeBron. It was
Steph Curry.
Julius Irving top 10 list of all time. It didn't even include him. He didn't even put himself in his top 10 list. He put Bill Russell number one, Wilt Chamberlain number two, Oscar Robertson number three, Jerry West number four, Elgin Baylor number five, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar number six, Michael Jordan number seven, Magic Johnson number eight, Karl Malone number nine, and Nate Archibald number 10. People are going to have an issue with the fact he even had Michael Jordan where he is at. Everybody feel like Michael Jordan should be number one. I didn't all the way have an issue with his list. I know he brought up the fact that he was like, damn, he got a list with no LeBron. That's bad. He got a list with no Kobe. That's bad. But we look at he's a all-time great player.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You look at what he did for the NBA and what he did for the ABA. He played so much. I'm not mad at his list. His list is his list.
But him not putting himself on that top 10
right.
saves his list a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because he ain't tripping about himself. So.
Right, right.
I mean,
and honestly,
and him and Larry Bird,
should be in this list. And yeah, that's Larry another Bird, person. Him and Larry Bird,
they choked each other on the court, bro. Right. I mean, I get it.
Michael Jordan said he wouldn't have been the player he is without Dr. J. Him watching Dr. J.
He was the blueprint.
Right. It's like so. You know, it's
one,
like
one hand to the hoop, finger roll, and
man, come on, man.
Posterizing. He's the blueprint. Dog. You know what I mean? He's the blueprint. I mean, respect the architect.
But I'm with you on this. I don't know if I would have put Karl Malone nowhere in this.
I don't have Karl Malone.
Even though he was in the nine.
I don't have Karl Malone over Charles Barkley.
Me neither.
I mean, I just don't. Charles Barkley, I don't think people today realize how amazing it is to be a 6'4 power forward that played at that level for so long. Like, he goofy on TV and everything, but people don't realize he was a phenomenal athlete, man.
Yes.
Like, he did everything on the court.
He brought the ball up. He handled the rock. He passed. He shoot threes.
And people just assume he was a poor defender. He really wasn't a poor defender. Mm-hmm. He was just pretty much out of shape most of the time. But he defended well. He could block shots. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be that heavy and get off the ground like that.
Get off the ground and two-hand punch it on you, bro.
How?
People sleep on. Dunking with two hands is not easy. One hand is a lot easier than dunking with two hands. And he jumping up, two-hand punching.
Dunking two hands off of one
foot.
Somebody.
Off of one foot.
All day. His third jump was still over the rim.
Bro, rebound.
I think he's an underrated talent.
What they used to call him, the round of rebound.
And then it brings us back to the conversation of how people's productivity and relevancy is downplayed because they don't have rings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I've never been a fan of that talk.
I think Gilbert Arenas breaks that aspect down the best when it comes to the ring culture and things of that nature, and how players that didn't win a ring is not respected because they didn't win a, you know, just because they didn't win a ring, but a lot of times they were way better than the guys that did win rings.
Well, I like how he said winning a ring as a number one option is different as from winning a ring as a number three option.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that perspective as well because, and I do think it's kind of messed up that Scottie Pippen don't really get respected for his rings though.
Right. Because
outside of the goofy stuff he does on social media and stuff like that, we're talking about basketball.
We're talking about basketball. Like, he revolutionized the position.
Scottie Pippen was greatness, man.
He revolutionized the position. And as much as we love Michael Jordan, he didn't have those rings until he got Scottie.
But you know what else he started?
He didn't even make it to the finals.
When you have the point guard talk, he's the reason why the Bulls didn't never have to really have a point guard.
Not a true one.
Yeah, right. See what I'm saying? So,
because he was a point forward.
If you have a point forward, you don't have to have that true point guard. Because Scotty can bring the ball up court, initiate the offense, make the key pass, also ran the break.
Yep.
You know, Scottie Pippen was great in this, man. We can't forget that.
And when Jordan went out to go play baseball, the Bulls still made it far in the playoffs. See, I think they made it to the finals.
Let's be clear with this. People knock Scottie Pippen because he didn't win a ring without Jordan. And it's like, how many rings Jordan got without Pippen?
Right.
So how are we saying that? You know what I'm saying? You can't expect Pippen to just run that team and just take over when Jordan sat out and won a championship.
Right.
They still played very well and competed.
Right, they did.
You know, so, yeah.
No, you're right.
Scottie Pippen earned his.
He definitely earned his. I agree, man. Let's get into this because you talked, once we stand in basketball, let's talk about point guards. Rick Pitino said, the days of pass first PGs are officially over. Pass first, yes. But point guards are still needed. Pass first, I totally agree. There's not going to be many. I think that's going to when Chris Paul retires after the end of this season, that's the last pass first point guard.
But the game is coached and taught different as well.
Right.
So that's why.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You everywhere you go, they're teaching the fast-paced offenses, and they're teaching three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of offense you got to set up if y'all
But it's sad that that's feet? Being based off of one player success.
It is. But I don't think there's anything else we can say about it. We haven't said because it ain't right. changing.
No, it ain't changing all the time.
So. It ain't changing. You can have a great point guard. I'll give you an example. He's not a great point guard, but he's a good player. T.J. McConnell.
Okay.
The only bad thing about him is they say he can't shoot threes. But in the playoffs, you see him rarely miss from mid-range ever.
Right.
And he got periods of time where he dominates the game off the bench, shooting mid-ranges, because now people act like they don't know how to defend the mid-range. And he's dribbling around in circles to pull up from 12 feet, 14 feet. Bam, 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 bam.
Right.
And you got stars that can't make that shot. They have to shoot from 30 feet.
That's why I like what KD said. KD is like, you can't take mid-range from us. You can't take mid-range from... You know, from the players that really do it. So everybody else need to be able to make threes. I don't need to shoot threes.
What's the last team, not to cut you off, but piggyback, what's the last team that won a championship that didn't have people that could shoot in the mid-range?
Nah, nobody.
You remember the Warriors had Sean Livingston come off the bench, killing the mid-range.
Same thing with Andre Iguodala, mid-range.
Mid-range. Yep. As a matter of fact, SGA.
Mid-range. That's all
people
he
act like they don't SGA see him don't making all
no,
these.
Don't shoot no threes.
Every
really.
Once in a while, that's just because he's open and he got to shoot it. But he's pulling up on you, and you can't.
One dribble pull.
Yeah, one
right,
dribble pull.
One dribble pull left.
Yeah, he's so slow motion. He throws you off because most defenders
that
are quick.
Back is smooth.
Most defenders are quick, so they're moving with quick body movements, and he's slow motion, and that's just making your twitch do the wrong kind of twitching.
That's that control pace, controlling your pace. Quick when you need to be, because that snatchback, his snatchback between the legs is crazy. And right back into the midi.
He's a bonus step Charlie, too. But it's cool.
You think so?
Yeah. It's part of the game. I ain't beefing, man. A lot of people get the bonus step. He gets a bonus step. LeBron always had a bonus step. He's a superstar. Patrick Ewing was getting bonus steps back in the 90s. It's nothing new. So I'm not talking like the old guy that hates basketball. Michael Jordan got a bonus step.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people that act like, oh, no, that's a gather. All right, bro. Whatever. Gather your ass out of here. I ain't talking to you, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a basketball expert, but I played the game long enough to know certain people get bonus steps, bro. The league has been like that forever.
That's why I can't referee. I couldn't referee.
I'd be fighting with coaches, bro. Look at James Harden. He gets a bonus two steps. They cut back on it, though. He don't get away with it as much as he used to. A lot of those Euro steps are like four steps.
It just look awkward.
No, I'm saying there's a proper Euro,
right?
But now everyone's doing the Euro, and everybody's Euro isn't what a Euro is supposed to be. And I think refs are going to be like, you know, I can't call every travel, bro.
Right. Yeah.
And if you whack, you're not getting away with that. SGA changes pivot foot.
He does do that.
Pivot feet. I know English. Chill. He changes.
I wasn't gonna correct you.
No, but the comments.
I just wanted us to keep it moving.
Yeah. But
he does change his pivot.
He changes his pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, it's like, I don't think he's intentionally just changing his pivot foot. The game just goes so fast. You just, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, he could be intentionally doing it. I mean, if they don't catch it,
hey,
because
man,
at the end of the day, you might catch it because you're an armchair referee. If the referee is on the court,
even more
they
than
don't
that,
catch it.
I caught it on slow motion.
See,
you know what I'm saying?
So they definitely not catch it in full speed.
You can't catch that shit full speed, bro.
Definitely not.
A lot of travels you can't, because the game of basketball is so fast. And I say to anybody,
especially
if you never,
especially
if you never
pro,
went to a live pro game to where you actually looked at the floor,
going,
yeah, and you want to officiate that. It's hard enough to play on that level that fast.
That's why they got three referees, because.
I wonder if one day they're going to get four.
Well, they technically they do, but that person is in the.
He's an alternate, though.
No, it's a person in the booth for challenges and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
watching,
like,
the floor.
Four on the court. You got one on each end, and you got one half court on each spot. And you find a way to make it have a good little motion.
That'd be too much policing, but I get it.
I mean, it might not even make it a better experience.
Nah, it's too much policing.
Policing. We need more police on the court.
That's what that shit is. That's exactly what it is. But point guards, back to the point guard thing. Yes. New era. Things change. You can't expect it to stay the same. I think, but I also think everything is bound to repeat itself. You know what I mean? Now, three-pointers, yes, it's high on the list, but they're now respecting mid-range again. That's starting to showcase just even from the finals and the different players, different teams that played leading up in the playoffs. So I see that changing where we'll get back to specialists. I don't think we're going to ever get back to a true big man, but I do think eventually point guards, pure point guards, may come back into effect. But you're going to also have to be a player that can score.
But even with a pure point guard, does that mean you can't score?
You know how
people
used to be
say
back in the day.
People say Chris Paul, but Chris Paul used to get buckets too. Yeah.
And Rip Pitino just be talking a lot of times.
And then even with Jalen Brunson, even though he's averaging 25, 26 a game, he didn't average that in college.
Mm-mm.
He developed into a scorer.
But I think, like, I think a couple players say college sometimes hurts you. It stunts who you are as a player because you got to really truly play within the system.
Look at how many
Once
people in college
pro,
only,
a lot different.
Look at people in college. How many people in college only score like 10 points, 12 points a game? Then they go pro and they get buckets. You
That's
like
that kid for the Spurs that in college, he was a defender. He came to the league and they was like, oh, you know, he just started and was in summer league. He just did what he did in college. But they showing his workouts, showing what he's doing as he's scoring. He out here shooting, doing what he need to do. So I can see that transitioning. As Wimby, you know, making sure whatever blood clots and everything is out the way, and I see Wimby working with KG, which I think is super dope too. It's showcasing like, all right, boom, Wimby can dominate in various different ways, but when he's not able to dominate, somebody else got to fucking score and efficiently score. That young boy might turn around and be Kawhi Leonard on steroids.
I'm still not a fan of the way they train with some of these guys 6'10 and taller. I just think they're missing the mid-range elements, man. I still think there's still a room for post moves because when the game gets tight at the end of the game, you need a bucket. I mean,
going back to the basket,
shooting a three don't make sense to me, bro.
But I think
we down one and we shooting threes and missing.
But
you give the ball
like,
to. I'm gonna say.
Uh-huh.
Go hold that.
No, thing. I got you.
You give Wimby the ball in the paint.
Yes.
He's 7'4".
Yep.
If he has a drop step or jump hook or something
left,
like that,
basket.
That's a better shot and chance of a foul than somebody shooting a three that's 32% from three. And we're trying to, first of all, we're trying to win this game.
Right.
This guy is 7'4", and he got bounced.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he's going to get his shot off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people can put a body on him and beat him up, but then you put him in the foul line. He's a decent free throw shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a guy like Kevin Durant. Crunch time, a lot of times he get it on the block, and he's shooting a fadeaway from 15. That's like a layup for him.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to somebody like Trae Young just pulling up from 30 feet. Even though he might make them sometimes, but if you're down one, do you need to do that all the time?
Right.
That's not a championship level of play to me. And it's a boring watch sometimes, bro. Oh, my God.
I'll say that's why I like the fact that KG was working with Wimby because KG didn't shoot a lot of threes.
He didn't.
It was to the left. If I'm on the right block, I'm left. Dump in right baseline, put it in. If I'm on the left block, right side, dump in, hook in.
Well, perfect example. Even with that, mm-hmm. once you develop that post move, let's say they throw the double team at you. Now that 3-point shot looks different.
It does.
Because he's open.
Open. Yep.
I don't understand why that's complicated, bro. And we've been having this conversation, the past 3 years?
It is, yeah. But, I mean, the sad part is you say that's not championship basketball. I'm glad you always preface it to you because we've seen it. With people who? Win chips
who?
And they don't do no post moves.
Who?
Huh? I mean, shit, a lot of these teams have been
What's
winning.
What's your name?
I mean, the last few chips. We go from Lakers.
Okay, OKC won.
Okay.
You said it yourself. SGA.
That was different.
Mid-range.
They finally did something different.
When the Warriors were winning, you had the best 3-point shooter probably in the history of basketball. Right. So that throws everything out.
Right.
And then who else?
LeBron's teams. They ain't no big man that did nothing.
LeBron scores a lot in the paint, even though they act like he don't.
Right, he does. But we talking about back to the basket points. We know LeBron ain't got no back-to-the-basket skill at all, but he's mid-range.
I think he does. He just don't want to do it. He don't want that body contact, especially now. If he gets the ball down there, he know what to do with it. Even the mid-range. It can't be just 3-pointer bust.
No, I agree. No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Post moves, yeah, nobody's working on
post moves. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, nobody's working on
that. I just disagree with that theory.
Mid-range, they should be. That's like you said, when the game needs to be slowed down or when you need to slow the game down, mid-range is going to help. When your threes ain't falling, just step in one spot until you start seeing it go in. As ex-basketball players, we know once you see it go in a few times, your confidence rises. Bro,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Miss too many shots? Yeah. You like, oh my God.
Bro, point guards used to have post moves back in the day.
Yeah, Mark Jackson.
You take a point guard like that was
Mark Jackson.
That was a legend. You take a point guard like Halliburton. Most of the people guarding him are smaller than him.
Right.
Think about, all right, even though I'm a Knicks fan, I'll say this. When Jalen Brunson is guarding Halliburton, why is he shooting 30-footers? Mm. Jalen Brunson is like 6 feet and Halliburton is 6'5". You should be able to get the ball on the post, dribble, jump hook, 10-foot jumper. But, it's a basket.
But also, Brunson is stocky.
I mean, he's strong as shit, though.
He's stocky. Halliburton is that stick over there.
Okay. I mean, so, if that's the reason, okay.
That's going to be hard.
Okay, listen to what you're saying.
You've done it before. You know you threw that shoulder into somebody and they didn't move.
All day.
And you was like.
And I was way smaller back then. I was beating up everybody. But I'll say this. Listen to what you said. But people love to say Brunson plays no defense. Isn't that defending?
Yeah, that's defending. Hell yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm going to say.
Slide your feet. Stand and keep your defender.
We have to find
something. Stand in between the defender and the goal.
Every all-star player, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, we have to find something wrong with them.
Right.
There's something that they don't do.
It's the league, bro. But that makes being fans fun.
LeBron ain't good in the clutch. He's scared to take a shot.
I am a big LeBron fan. He used to piss me off sometimes. Like, my nigga, if you don't kill him.
No,
That used to make me so mad.
He's trying to find the good
basketball
player.
But then he'll wait till the fourth. He'll wait till like the third when they really need him. Then he'll kill fourth quarter, first few plays, kill, and then he'll go back to. All right, let me make sure everybody eat.
You don't think it's the good basketball player?
I hate that shit.
Really?
I hate that shit.
I do too. I'm just talking.
I hate that shit. Always have. Always will.
Fuck that.
If you could kill, I tell kids when I'm training them, when we're working, and we're just having a conversation about ball, I tell them all the time, when you got inferior talent in front of you, you kill them.
Yeah, none I'll tell you this.
None of that feels bad for them.
Win, lose, or draw, the last 2-3 minutes of the game, if the star player takes almost every shot, I have no problem with that.
Not a one.
Not one. No. So when Jalen Brunson goes crazy, I don't care. And that one game when he goes crazy and they lose, I'm not tripping because they won 50-plus games with him killing.
Killing, exactly.
Keep killing. Yep. What do we do? Give it to Mikal Bridges and hope he make it?
With that goofy shot.
Yeah, nigga, he better hey, nigga, cook that nigga.
Yo, when Miguel in his bag, it looked good.
I'm talking crunch time, though.
Okay, I get you.
Crunch time.
I don't care about them niggas, though.
Yeah, you do. He a closet.
My Pistons got 16 nationally televised games this season. Let's go.
That's all right.
Let's go.
Knicks got 35.
Let's go. I don't care about none of that. We talking about the progression of my team.
I bet you watch
y'all,
it, though.
Y'all just in a high market. Y'all been ass forever in a high market.
I bet you watch it, though.
Nah, I don't. Not all of them. I watch a good bit of the game.
Still be lying.
I like basketball.
That Jewish gym, I can compliment the Pistons. He can't compliment the Knicks.
I compliment the Knicks all the time. Stop that bullshit.
All the time?
All the time. I'm going to shit on them niggas, too.
Your generalization.
I'm going to shit on them niggas,
Your generalizations are violent.
When we having a conversation, we're talking ball, I am going to compliment and shit on them.
You gave an honest assessment to Cade Cunningham one time. That's why I leave you alone.
What'd I say?
I was asking about all NBA, and you said it'll probably be second or third team.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll leave you alone.
We got to be realistic now.
I'll leave you alone.
The boy is nice, but he not. You could tell he's still missing. I hope he saw what Rondo said and was like, yeah, let me go holler at OG.
I want to see Rondo be a coach.
I would love to see him be a coach.
I mean, on a high level,
No, I get it. Yeah.
I would rather have him than Sam Cassell at this point. And I could be a prisoner of the moment, but I like the things I'm hearing Rondo say and speak on as far as,
too.
You know what I'm saying? So I could be a prisoner of the moment. And I like Sam Cassell. Yeah, it's not like a shot. Only reason why I said Sam Cassell's name, because he's probably the top of the list of assistants that haven't had a chance to be a head coach. And I'm not saying Rondo should immediately be a head coach, but I mean, if you're going to take that jump, he seems like a better option than Derek Fisher was. Derek Fisher just came out the blue with Phil Jackson.
I get it. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, based on what, though?
Right.
You know, well, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
And has he even had a winning season as a coach?
Derek Fisher?
Yeah.
Not even in the WNBA, I don't think. Because he was out of there real fast. You know what I'm saying? Doc Rivers will even say Rondo would be a great coach. That's why they couldn't get along, because Rondo knew Doc Rivers couldn't coach.
Everybody knew.
And that was a shot. Yeah, I shot it. Pew.
It happens sometime, man. I'm about to play this video.
Boop, 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 boop.
Hello.
Record, that was...
Let me rewind that. I think this doing is pretty it dope.
Well, LL Cool J record. Yeah, that was initially for Biggie, right?
Big's working on his second album. There was no budget yet.
Life After Death.
Life After Death. Mm-hmm. Big came to me with all these ideas. I want the Albie Shaw sample to Night and Day.
Uh-huh. Crazy, right? Crazy.
That's a new album.
I want My Jamaican Guy.
Yeah.
Yep, by Grace Jones. I remember that.
Went home, I started working on the records. Called him on the phone, I played some of it on the phone. That's incredible. Come and bring me the set. Things started getting a little rough for me. At that time, I thought Puff could have just gave me at least a little deposit on it, which was promised.
Get your money.
But it just never happened. And I'm like, Puff, man, I really need you. He's like, yo, well, I don't have a budget. I'm like, yo, but just make something happen. Give me a deposit. Because I'm like, yo, I got to eat. And I got to take care of, you know, a kid on the way.
What would have been the down payment for like holding these two tracks?
It was like 15 grand, right?
For both.
No,
each.
That was 15 grand a piece.
Right.
So I made 30 grand off just 30. Those two. I had a relationship with Chris Lighty. He's working on LL's new album. He picked some of the beats I had, and then the big beat came on. I stopped it. He's like, yo, what is that? I was like, oh shit, that's for Big. I'm holding that. And he's like, no, let me hear that. I'll let you hear it, but I can't sell it. Lo and behold, he was like, I need that. The Lounging record came on. He's like,
dope, right?
I need that. He said, how much is Puff going to pay you? He said, I'll double that.
I know this video is long, but I feel like it's needed.
Now, anybody that's listening to this, you tell me what the fuck would you do?
Oh, yeah.
Guess who calls me the day that check hit my account? The Notorious B.I.G.
Yo, man, I'm ready for that beat now. Yo, our budget is open.
I'm about to shit my pants. Breathe. Yo, big ass hold on, beats, man.
You did what?
Y'all sold them beats, man. But go get my shit back. That was my first single. Big was so mad, he hung up the phone on me. He called back. Big call on that answer machine. It was bad. It was really bad. Like, I needed to get the fuck out of Brooklyn.
Wow.
It was gonna be bad, bro. Like, he was mad. Big never fuck with me ever again after that. I felt so bad. I don't think Big understood that it was Puff's fault. I don't care if he would've just gave me $2,000, $5,000, something just to hold me down. I wouldn't entertain that with LL. It's really sad that before his passing, we never gotten a chance to fix that issue.
It's the first time all together, right. And I'm feeling kind of horny.
And I go play the room. So, my reasoning behind wanting to play that, I think that was a phenomenal story. And the context of that story was definitely Big, especially for Big, you know what I mean? And like you said, that's regular. That's business. That's definitely music business protocol.
But if you know the business at that time,
right? But if you got a relationship with someone, right? If I know I'm a producer, I made these beats, and I know I made these beats for you, and I know you said, and because you told me I want you to sample this, you're actually co-producing this by saying, hey, bro, I need you to sample this. I need you to sample these two records. Because I'm going to use these for my project. I want that from you. You tell me that. I do that. I sample it. I play it for you. Like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I got that. Boom. Perfect. But then you go to the label head and say, hey, yo, Puff, I'm down bad. Ski. Ski's the label head. Yo, Ski. I go to Ski. Yo, I'm down bad right now. I need, you know what I mean? Yo, the budget ain't open. All right, cool. I get it, but can you give me a deposit? Yo, at this moment, I can't give you nothing. So now, do I not go to the person I have the relationship with, which is you, and say, hey, bro, yo, bro, I know you asked me to make those beats for you. I made those beats. Right now, I'm in a position that's kind of dire. Puff said the budget ain't open. I actually needed some bread to handle some family stuff. I got a new kid on the way. First thing you're going to say is what? How much do you need? What can I do to just hold you over, right?
He could have handled it better.
That's my only issue. That was my only issue about the whole story.
If you coming from that perspective, yeah, I get it.
That's my only issue.
Biggie might be able to give him a couple grand
right.
So he could pay some bills.
Because look what he said at the end of it. Weeks.
I could have got budget opened up in like a week or so.
Right. He was like, I could have got $2,000, yeah, but he didn't grand.
Tell him that, though.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yo. Biggie might have just been like, I just did a show and got paid $10,000. Yo, I'm going to give you $5,000. Just hold that beat for me.
Yup.
You know, give you know it back to me when the budget opens.
Yup.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, exactly.
And that was my only issue about the whole thing.
But listening to it, I didn't think to that point because I'm thinking that some of these conversations, I assumed.
Right.
Loosely assume that some of these conversations were had.
I doubt it. And that's no, and but that'd be the problem with us.
Not as you say that, I see, because I think he probably only talked directly to Puff, mm-hmm. and Puff probably just gave him one word answers.
Yep.
I don't have it right now.
Because you see what he said at the end. I don't think Big understood it was Puff's fault.
No, he didn't.
You're right, he didn't understand it was
Puff's fault. But that's his fault
because,
as well.
Because I went to my man and said, yo, my man that's a producer who know I'm doing business with you, I need you to make beats, use these two samples. Guess what? We're going to continue that conversation. Now, I got to go to the person who holds the bread, and it's an absorbent amount that I'm looking for, you know, and $15,000 is the deposit. So just imagine how much in totality that beat is going to be and how much points. Yes, we're going to do business, but at the same time, I'm down bad. This nigga told me no. I'm going to my mans, be like, yo, bro, I know you told me we're going to use these. You specifically asked me to curate this sound for you.
Yeah.
Is there a way I can get a little something?
That's the ugly part. And I'm sure he still feels bad right. about that because he spoke on it. I mean, yeah, it's always family first, man. But it's like basically you and Big made that beat together.
Yep. Soon as you would have told me, yo, T, I can't give you nothing right now. But if you would have said, yo, but I do got a show tomorrow. Once I get paid for that show, I'll shoot you. Then nobody hears those beats. But if you say, yo, I ain't got nothing, let's wait for the budget opens.
But he'll never know. Then, he never right, had that conversation.
Because he never had that conversation. But no, I'm just saying, if we would have had that conversation and you would have said, hey, yo, I don't have nothing, let's wait till the budget opens, then maybe I'll be like, all right, I'll try to wait for the budget open. Or I'll be like, bro, I kind of need the bread.
I don't think the '90s, the golden era as it's called sometimes, I don't think it was big on communication.
Nah.
Because when you look at most
nigga, we from the golden era.
I don't want to use the word communication word for beef. The longest. I say most confusion.
Right.
Was just lack of communication.
Right. That was my only thing watching that video where I just felt uncomfortable. I'm sure
Big didn't know Diddy was basically like, nah, the budget ain't open.
Nah. I'm pretty sure he didn't. You know Diddy and was doing Diddy shit.
Big probably could have lent them $2,500.
Easy.
You know what I mean?
Big might have gave him the 15 and been like, yo, how about this 15 for both?
Even still, if Big knew what was happening, Big could have still went to Puff and been like, yo, let's just give him a little something.
Right.
You know, I helped him put this beat together. Right. I want it. You know, niggas is offering them $30,000 off a deposit. Like, I got to give him something to hold it. He just want to feed his kids and pay the light bill or something.
Right.
You know?
Yo, Big, I personally, because the way Big moved.
I don't see Big being a problem with
me. Me neither. Not at all.
I think Big was more of a fair person. I think that's, you know, not to change the topic, I think that's part of the reason why he wanted to get away from Puff anyway.
Yep. And then you look at what happened when you played for Violator, and you know Chris Lighty going, L was his number one thing right there. And you know what that song did for L. Them beats did great for L. At least one of them beats did great for L.
Defending Chris Lighty's business acumen, he did exactly
what he was supposed to do. He did exactly what he was supposed
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. No, I want this. This is a hit.
Yeah. Dog.
Matter of fact, I want both of those.
Bro, he played it for L.
And he paid him.
L said, yeah, and paid him over the amount.
I mean, he did good business, and L was successful with it.
Yep. Cause doing it,
but when I listen
crazy.
To it, it's almost like I don't know
if I want to hear Big with it, or I want to hear what Big did to it.
I don't want to hear Big on the lounging beat, but the other beat,
maybe. The grittier one, the one that was a B side for L,
yeah,
because that was a B side record for L.
I remember
that record. I don't know. I kind of want to hear what he did with lounging. Just to hear it. You know why you don't want to hear it?
Lounging was too crazy.
I get it. But you know why? Another reason why you probably want it? What if that shit was better than
Lounging? Say Queen, she was raised out of Brooklyn.
But what if he did better? What if that record was better under Big than it was with L? We know what that record did for L.
Then we would have had two great records.
Yeah. We know what that shit did for L. That record was fire.
You can't shun Lounging, though. You might have did your version.
No.
And it's better by your perspective. But Lounging, you can play Lounging in the club right now.
Yeah. Shit, I think when I stopped DJing probably about 8-9 years ago, I was playing that shit right downtown Raleigh, and that shit was going up.
Lounging is a slap, man.
Shit, doing it. Well,
yeah, perfect record, man.
Yeah, that shit was fire.
Good record.
Yo, the girl that rapped on that shit, I think she came out later and was talking about that record.
She sued him.
Yeah.
But she was pregnant during the video. Like, how are you going to be in a video when you're pregnant? Like, relax.
Right.
Like, what you want me to do?
Bro, don't you know Belly?
That's another
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Kitchen problem.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Belly, the girl that was with DMX and Belly, came out and said that wasn't her in the sex scene.
I mean, I saw the caption, but would you feel like you missed out?
She was actually mad that they did that. She was like, that wasn't even a part of the flick at first. So when they brought it
up. She's mad they used the body double? Or she's mad that people think it wasn't?
No, all of it.
Oh.
Like that she's like that scene, because that scene was written in later, and she was like, yo, that's not how she wanted to be portrayed.
Well, that's so why they had a body double.
Right.
Because they know you don't want to do it.
That's a fact.
Belly was fire, though.
That's, oh, yeah. That scene was fire.
They had her skin looking mad glossy, like Vaseline was over her whole body. That was
that shit,
wild.
That shit was hard.
Sweaty though. Vaseline.
The way that lights, the way the lights and shit was shining, that shit was hard to me.
Well, that's how
I love that shit.
That's the video representation of a director that's actually a video guy.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what it was.
Every scene looked like a
music video. That shit was
like
hard.
Like when they walked into the club.
Fire.
That scene slow motion. Crazy, sir.
But dog, you can't
say. Yo, that scene hard.
You can't say when you with your niggas and y'all off, everybody fly, everybody walking in the club, everybody, that scene comes in your mind like, yeah.
You be trying to walk slow motion?
Yeah.
How do you want it? With the lights?
Yo, do this.
Come on, niggas. Sir. Stop it.
As you walking through
Hype Williams, man.
He was different. He was a robber though. He robbed a lot of niggas off their budget. But Hype was hype.
That's industry.
Hype was hype, man. Yo, let's get into a topic. Let's talk about cheating. And I want to talk from the perspective on why you cheated and if you ever been cheated on and how did you take it.
Which one first?
Either or. You picked the part.
I mean, I never.
We all cheated.
I never cared about really being faithful until I became an adult.
Okay.
Like now, you know, I would love to have a monogamous relationship officially and be able to come to my mother's house with my wife and sit with my moms and all that stuff and go places. You know, hey, this is my wife.
Right.
But infidelity was like a part of life growing up, man. Hey, who the hell was faithful growing up? I ain't know nobody that was. You know what I'm saying? And then the people you thought were, you get older, you realize they weren't either.
Right.
And a lot of times there's no reason, and that's a terrible answer, but yo, with visual people, you know what I'm saying? And it's like a woman on the side, they might just talk to a guy.
Right.
And nothing ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave him some social, emotional kind of stuff, right?
Right, yep.
With us, I mean, we go in for the kill and come home like nothing happened.
That to me, that's
like,
the worst form of cheating, the emotional aspect.
It is, because you meant that. We can poke something, and we didn't mean nothing. Because as soon as we finish, we're like, oh, shit, man, I got to go. I mean,
why did I do this?
But it's a level of sexual discipline that a lot of us have to mature to have. And it's a rough conversation because most men don't want to admit that they don't have sexual discipline. Or
and
that
we had a discussion about that last part.
I know I didn't have sexual discipline back in the days because I remember being young and dealing with somebody and just being in the wrong place and a friend of the person I was dealing with offering me something like on the spot.
Right.
And just with no hesitation, just diving in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Young. You know what I'm saying? I mean young. I don't mean like 25, 30. I mean young, 18, 19. You're not thinking about that. You're like, oh, man, I'm going to get this. Or just going on vacation. And there's an opportunity to do something, man. Only thing you worried about is getting caught and losing your person or whatever.
Right.
Because a lot of people say, what if you're going to cheat? Why don't you just break up? A man cheating don't mean he want to break up with you, though.
No. It don't mean he don't love you neither.
And in today's world, I don't think it's a difference with men and women anymore.
No, it's almost
the same dynamic now.
Yeah.
And back in the days, maybe it's the same dynamic, too, but it just, we didn't see it that way. Now, it's like, now, being cheated on, I've never really had it happen to me.
You know at least that you know of.
I've had, that I know of. If I don't know it, I'll tell anybody. If I don't know, I don't care.
Right.
Now, I've had situations that I felt were out of pocket. You know, I've had people I dealt with that I found out had boyfriends and stuff like that, but they weren't really my significant other.
Okay.
I mean, it's a level of trust. It's a level of disrespect, you feel? But, you know, I haven't had the heartbreak of finding out, you know, a woman was with another two. I haven't had that. So when men tell me those conversations, I'm just listening and being a fly on the wall. I haven't experienced right. that.
I found out my ex-wife cheated on me, and I didn't feel no way about it. And that's crazy. I didn't feel no way because I wasn't shit my goddamn self.
Well, if it did happen, we have had this conversation before. I have said that, and even though I haven't been through it, I'm still true to this. I can't say I would definitely break up with a woman that I'm in a good relationship with
right.
over a moment.
No,
I can't. Right.
Damn. I can't say it depends on what you do, though, too.
But I'm saying, only way, and I'll repeat it. The only things that I can't come back from is if you do it with another dude in my house.
Yeah, nah.
Or you do it on video when I see the video.
Yeah, yeah. I can't recover from those. No.
Or I catch you in the act. Let's say three. Those three I can't deal with. But if I find out you had a situation, I don't know if you did it with this guy one time or 20 times. know what I'm saying? But it comes to my attention, we can work through it and move. Because I know I'm not transgression free in my life. So I'm not going to judge people on a platform of perfection.
And but, we can work on it and move if we both agree that this is not going to ever happen again.
And it happens more times than we can imagine. And I spoke of it before. I know a guy whose wife cheated on him. He caught her out there, nasty. They relocated to another city, moved back 10 years later, and it's like nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? But they decided with each other, this is what we want to do. We got kids. And like now they got grandkids, happy family. Infidelity is nothing new. No. I think our grandparents and parents talk to us about relationship with kid gloves because none of us probably ever had those kind of conversations. Mm-mm. Like my father used to always say, you can't take care of two families, right? Mm-hmm. But he never spoke on the origin of that. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's, you know, a person can mess around and do something and fail at it.
Right.
And not just, they won't tell you that.
Right.
That's more effective than just telling somebody what they shouldn't try to do.
Right.
Like, you know, son, you know, I did this. It almost ruined me. You know what I'm saying? But I was able to make it through. You might not be as blessed to survive this scenario. Now, that's effective.
Nah, super effective.
But just giving somebody a bullet
point. A blanket statement on cheating. Right.
A California king-size blanket. That's not telling me nothing. You can't take care of two families. Dad, shut up. Fuck you, no. You know what I'm saying? You don't know shit.
Right.
You've been married 100 years. Shut up. You know what I'm saying? And I always try with my son not to give him blanket statements.
Nah,
you know what I mean?
Thing,
like, son, you can't. I remember one time I told this to a girl. I was dealing with her, you know, she had a boyfriend. I didn't know she had a boyfriend. I kind of knew, but I didn't care.
Yeah.
But it kind of hit the fan.
It's not my job to be, you know.
But when it hit the fan, I said to her, I said, look, if you have any seriousness within that relationship with that man that you're trying to go further, I said, I'm the kind of guy you can't deal with because you went in too hard. So you can't do both.
Right.
I said, if you want to save your relationship, go ahead. I'm not going to get in the way. Like, it ain't worth it.
I fall all the way back.
You know what I'm saying? And I did. I left it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't speak for about 4 or 5 years. You know what I'm saying? She moved on, got married, did her thing. You know, she tried what she wanted to try.
Right.
Whether it works or not, it's none of my business.
Right.
But if you're dealing with a dude, especially a dude that's possessive and checking your phone and all that stuff, you can't be text message interacting consistently with somebody. You just can't.
Mm-mm.
You're going to get caught. Because first of all, you messy because he's going through your stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what you're doing to him because you're probably just as bad as he is.
Right, right.
And then some people are infatuated with that kind of toxicity. They think it has some kind of foundation of love under there.
Right.
There's not a love undertone to aggressiveness in that situation.
No.
But some people are trained like that. But, yeah, you know.
I'm with you. I think if Erica would have ever cheated on me, that shit would be devastating. But I also would look at like.
But you're speaking from a married perspective.
Right. That's the only way I can speak from.
It's a huge difference when you've been married for a few years, you bought a home, and you raised your kids, and you got nice where she didn't get you none.
Right.
And you fucking this nigga?
Oh, yeah.
What? That's why I ain't getting none, because he, you know what I mean? He trying you out.
I might stomp somebody out.
See, that's different.
I might stomp somebody out.
You know what I'm saying? I've never been mad enough to confront someone over a woman.
In a relationship.
But I'm not even confront. Honestly, after I whoop this nigga ass, I gotta tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Why he laying there? Bro, this ain't about you. I can't hit my wife.
I can't hit my wife. But I'm hitting you.
You know what I mean? You an innocent bystander that got these hands and feet.
Anytime I was dating, we wasn't married, just dating. I didn't give a fuck, yo. I don't know. I think I was cold. A girl did tell me that.
I don't think that's cold.
She was like, you just so cold hearted. I'm like, how is that cold hearted? Because I don't care.
That's my problem, you know what I mean? Too. And I've said this to women. If we not married, or at least engaged. I'll put engaged on it. If we're not engaged to be married or married, I don't understand what this cheating shit is.
Yeah, I don't get it.
What are you talking about cheating? Because if I go to a restaurant and I actually see you with a dude, there's not really much I can say. I can say a whole lot, but I don't own your social time.
Don't own none of it.
You know what I mean? I can say, you know, you lied to me about where you're going. I could say that because you might have lied about where you're going. But how far can I take it? I can't be mad at that man because he has no idea who I am.
Don't have a bit.
It's just as foolish as when you walking with your lady and somebody look at your lady butt when you walk past and you get mad. What are you mad about?
Nigga, you knew your lady had ass. And you know as a man, you look at other people's women's ass.
Let's be a vet. A woman can have the flattest ass in the world.
I'm still going to look. I just want to see.
I'm talking about, dude, this dude, like, I can't believe the ass that flat.
Right. Like, she cakeless.
She could be ugly as hell. You still just be like, yo.
Cake pan. Or damn, that ass fat.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? But me and Ski was laughing at that yesterday. When our dude was walking with his lady. And Ski was like, yeah, man, you can't even look, man. If you walk with your lady, you just got to just keep it going. I'm tunnel vision when I walk with my lady.
Always.
Man. I hold her hand. You know what I mean? I'm a hand holder if you my lady. I don't have a problem with that. I had somebody tell me I don't seem like the kind of guy that does that, and I don't understand what that means. Fuck you and your thoughts. You my lady. I'm a hand holder. I'm walking. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. Walking through. I'm not looking to see who's looking at my lady. I'm a
periodical hand holder. I can't do it the whole time.
What the whole time? I'm not talking about walking for 45 minutes. Okay. We walking from the car to the venue.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about? Walking holding hands on the beach for 2 hours? That's a little too much. My hands catch a cramp. I got like arthritic fingers, you know what I mean?
As soon as my palms sweat, I'm done.
Oh, yeah. The handhold, it's not fun anymore. When the hands get sweaty, the handheld ain't fun no more. That's like cuddling in the bed and your body gets hot. That cuddle ain't cool no more. Off of me.
I got a 5 minute cuddle time anyway, fam.
If we cuddle for 5 minutes and we don't start fucking, that cuddle ain't good.
Sometimes, bro, I need a good cuddle to go to sleep.
Nah, I got it, man. I mean, yo, I can't be mad at an individual when they express their perspective. I have a different vision on that.
I let my lady laying on my chest. I go right
that helps
sleep.
You go to sleep.
I will go right to sleep.
Nah.
I'll put them butt cheeks right on your leg or something.
Cuddle time right always has me sitting there wide awake with her sleep. And I'm like this. Damn, I wish I can go to sleep like that.
I do. I go right to sleep.
And then you look over to the left. You be like, damn.
So, hey, bro, it's like me and the wife got
I
kinda, up.
We
know when we split apart, we snuggle, go right to sleep, and then that's middle cool. of night you'll see us separated like the Red Sea.
I like that though. Those are special intimate moments though.
Yeah, man.
I like that, man. I'm happy for you.
It don't always have to be about sex.
No, I didn't say that. Don't put that on me. Cause somebody's gonna hear that and then flip it. Nah, man. Intimacy is a powerful tool. We've been speaking on intimacy since episode 2.
Yeah, damn near 1.
I don't know about 1, but I know at least 2. Because, you know, you didn't understand my perspective at first. You put me in the dog pound, you know what I mean? You didn't know I had culture. You know what I mean? I had to learn him something.
Oh, this nigga, bro. You got anything, man, to end it off with?
Always.
We had hours, huh?
Really?
Yeah. We had an hour. Dead ass. We over an hour.
Instinctively, most of us is born as selfish. We have to condition ourselves to be selfless. Mm. You have loved ones that are going to need you. You're going to need loved ones. You know, this life isn't promised. Me and this young man here have 2 things in common. 1, we both have an expiration date. Mm. 2, we have no clue when that date is. Mm. I just lost my dad, and I rode it out with him for the last 2 years, and I made a conscious decision to be selfless and be there for him. A lot of things I could have handled better within my social life and career, but I'm learning as I go along. Just like I had to forgive my father for certain problems I had with him as a father, because he was learning how to be a father while he was being a father, just like I am now when my son is 31. We have to have grace, we have to have empathy, and we also have to have forgiveness for our loved ones because we're all learning how to do this thing. But one thing we can easily do is become selfless and less of becoming selfish.
I agree. We'll end it with that. On your boy, Tall Sean, TS is who I am, a.k.a. Agent 0066.
I gave that nigga. That's right. Check that is who I am, aka 4 EPs and 4 videos dropped before the end of this year.
That shit ain't happening, niggas. Fucking bow, August. Bow, 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 bow. We'll catch y'all later, man. This is Black Male Podcast. Peace.
Yo.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Joe Valentine here for TNT Equipment. And no matter the height or the task, TNT has the scaffold solutions for you. For heavy-duty or high-speed needs, TNT Equipment has a vast array of mass climbing scaffold to increase production and enhance safety. Our qualified staff can install all of your scaffold, accessway, and trash chute needs. Call TNT Equipment today at 614-882-1549 or check out our website at tntequip.com to see how we can make it happen for you. TNT.